Hello, I'm Hayley Hayes, and it's a pleasure to have you join us for another episode of the Radio Academy podcast. The highest honour the Radio Academy may give a member of our industry is a fellowship of the Academy. Fellowships are awarded to recognise individuals who have made outstanding contributions to the industry or the Academy, usually from behind the scenes rather than in front of the microphone. Several new fellowships are announced every year, usually at the Radio Academy Festival, with this year being no different. With four new fellowships announced, we'll be dedicating a podcast episode to each new fellow to get to know them better. Today, our esteemed Radio Academy Managing Director, Aradhna, takes a seat with Nina Robinson, the brilliant mind behind Sound Truism. Nina's fellowship was awarded in a video address by actor and broadcaster Sir Lenny Henry at this year's Radio Academy Festival. Without further ado, let's dive right into this inspiring conversation between Aradhna and Nina.
So, Nina, it's so great to talk to you and congratulations. How does it feel getting a Radio Academy Fellowship?
Oh, thanks so much, Aradhna. I tell you, it was such a shock. Like, if anybody's seen the pictures of me that night, that evening, that day, they would be like, oh my God, this is a woman in total shock. I didn't even realise that was what Seleni was talking about me until he said the words, Punjabi Sikh, who went to a comprehensive school and went to Oxford. And that was the line where the penny dropped. I was like, oh God, it must be me because I don't know anyone else, you know. So it feels great. I mean, it was really unexpected because I just think that you work your entire life and you have a lot, you do a lot of things, but you don't realise that accumulatively that they're anything. You know, it's just something that you've done in your career. You're working, keep working. You do what you think you want, you need to do at that point. So it was just amazing to be able to get some recognition for that. Like, it was really incredible.
What does it mean to have a fellowship? How does that change or impact you or others going forward?
Well, I think it's improved my SEO. on Google, because I have been getting quite a few more different messages from people and places that I didn't previously. So that's, I think it's kind of increased my rankings there on the SEO, which does really, it means a lot, especially when, you know, you're a startup, you know, I'm a company that's kind of looking to expand and looking for investment. And so it's just something that kind of puts you more on the map as a founder, that people can trust, that there is trust there, that people kind of, you know, notice the fact that what I've done, you know, what I've achieved in my career so far. And that is really, if anybody's watched Dragon's Den, they know that the amount of time that the dragons say, oh, we really invest in you as a founder, that is, becomes a really key component of the whole kind of, you know, strategy for a company's growth.
And so your company, Sound Truism, tell us a bit more about what motivated you to set that up.
So my whole motivation was the fact that there were no CEOs in the audio industry that looked like me. So as a South Asian female, I came across my fair share of concrete ceilings in my career. It became more and more obvious to me that it had nothing to do with what my, you know, skills were, what I was able to achieve, you know, my ambition, that none of that correlated with the kind of jobs that I was applying for and not getting. Like, and it became more obvious that the people who were getting those jobs, you know, those real kind of, you know, executive high flyer ones that kind of, you know, attract investors, those people didn't have the skills or the background or the knowledge or the vision that I had, even the leadership. I felt that the only way that I was able to really fulfill my own potential and to change the landscape was to actually do it myself. And that it was the most natural next step for me to do that. Like, there was nothing else I could do or thought about doing. Even I was thinking of doing it from like the last, you know, probably the last 8 years of working at the BBC. I was thinking, like, why don't I just, you know, this, I should just, I think it was because I had my daughter at that time, and it's definitely been a thought in my mind for many, many years. And so when it finally happened, it just wasn't, you know, that was, it was a foregone conclusion that that's what I was going to do.
So it sounds like it just felt, it was really natural, which is just part of who you are, I think, of you just take things and you just go for it. But it's not an easy thing to do, to set up a company and then to turn that company into a success and realise your vision. You know, what was the process? What did you have to do practically?
So I had to do a lot of research, and that's when I felt like actually, you know, my skill set is really suited to doing this, because I was like the year before that I left the BBC, I did project managed my kitchen extension, and I had to learn how to put a roof on, do all of these, like what insulation I needed, like, you know, all of these things. Like, you just realize like the importance of journalism in everyday life, and that you can employ it to anything. And which is how I applied it to setting up the company. You just have to know certain steps to go through how to do incorporation, the kinds of things that you need. But I'm very much a work in progress. So I just won Deutsche Bank Incubator, which was a competition run by Deutsche Bank to select startups for creative entrepreneurs. And out of 573 applications, Sound Truism made it to the final 11. So that is actually a game changer for me. So we just started this cohort, started the program just recently in the last couple of months. And they assign a mentor to kind of look at how you kind of develop a company. So I'm absolutely not there. I've, you know, my journey is on a learning process as to, you know, the kinds of steps that I need to take to move forward. So that is, you know, I feel that, and also to have another network as well. So I have an entrepreneurs network that I'm a part of here in Birmingham as well. And they're really helping me kind of get the right connections and, you know, understand more about the kind of company side of being a founder and kind of growing a company.
That's incredible. And actually, as someone who's achieved so much, it's really great to hear from your perspective about how you're still learning and you're still on your journey, which never ends.
Totally. Like, and I'm really excited about it, like more than I've been in a long time about something, you know, that I just really enjoying my work and what I'm doing and the variety. And, you know, and also trying to change the industry for the better. So I have been doing research for the Lenny Henry Centre for Media Diversity, because that is an important part of what my motivation is in kind of speak up for the importance of diversity in the space, especially at a time when I think that we're really in a lot of crisis around it. So I'm just starting a big piece of work around kind of looking at local journalism in particular. So that is another area where I'm kind of hoping to really make a difference.
In fact, your advocacy and for the inclusion of journalists from underrepresented backgrounds and less privileged backgrounds has been a constant theme throughout your whole career, including, you know, from when you very first started at the BBC and throughout your world travels. Tell us a bit about that.
So as a journalist for BBC, I joined Newsbeat. I was a Radio 1 and One Extra journalist at the start of my career. That was my first staff job. So I was there for the founding of One Extra, which was brilliant, because at that time there really was a lot of ambition to have a news service that was for young people from diverse backgrounds and underrepresented backgrounds. And that was a real kind of experimental but really ambitious program which had money behind it. And it was just a breath of fresh air to be able to produce news that didn't sound like BBC News, that was speaking to a new audience, that had authenticity. Really, it did. And then from there, I was able to pitch to news gathering to go to Jamaica. So I was a key reporter in Kingston, Jamaica for a couple of years, which was like incredible. And then I joined World Service, so as a senior journalist for their documentaries unit, I was making programs all around the world. So I've been to places like Benghazi in Libya, America. I did loads of programs for America, including one where it was about the South Side Chicago dogfighting scene, which was really scary for me because I'm scared of dogs. And I got to do some really incredible things. I went all around the world. And what I was saying to somebody the other day, I went all around the world and I ended up where I started, in Birmingham in the West Midlands.
I'm guessing that's not an accident, though. You've obviously got a lot of heart in your home in the West Midlands.
Yeah, but it's funny because I actually vowed when I was 18 never to come back here. But no, I love it now. I mean, at the beginning, I was like going to London like every week, you know. I don't feel the need to do that anymore. Like, I feel like Birmingham has got so much going for it. And it needs the investment and it needs the encouragement to have more startups here, much more so. Like, London just sucks everything and it shouldn't be like that.
And you've been really active in taking the steps towards making that happen. You set up the Birmingham Podcast Festival.
Yeah, so we had the Birmingham Podcast Festival this year at Birmingham City University. And the platform for that festival was to kind of really platform diverse voices, underrepresented voices in the audio industry, also to kind of champion podcasters from Birmingham and to equip podcasters here with the skills to set up their own podcast. So one of the most successful parts of the festival, well, they were all great. So there was panel discussions, guest speakers on a variety of subjects. And then we had workshops as well, which were really, you know, we got so much brilliant feedback. So there's so much kind of demand for people to learn the skills, the podcasting skills, to really create that high quality content. And I'm working now with universities to try and increase the skill level. So for next year, I'm kind of thinking of expanding the podcast festival to have it more as a university podcast festival that is really a platform for young audio or content creators coming off media courses, you know, around the country. So I'm hoping to develop the festival for next year.
So do you see this going more widely? So from Birmingham Podcast Festival, are we going to see a whole podcast festival and Exeter Podcast Festival?
We'll keep it in Birmingham, have the Birmingham as the core location, but to invite people from media courses, like, you know, from Wolverhampton, from different places, because I think that a lot of universities, that the media courses, it's the same media courses, but media courses, they're all so many different colleges. Like, there's at least like four different colleges that have got media courses just around here where I am. I get loads of emails, you know, messages from young people who are trying to get their foot in the door, who don't have these connections, they haven't got networks, they're not anywhere near London. I want to be able to help as many as possible. So this is a good way for them to meet people in the industry, you know, make their own connections, learn some valuable skills, you know, and hopefully open doors for them.
What advice would you give to somebody who's just coming off a media course or just trying to get into an audio career?
So I've been concentrating on trying to give quite practical help. So I ask them to send me their CV so that I can look at, you know, and then send them, like, make changes to make it more impactful. So I'm shocked that actually a lot of the CVs, they've done amazing things, but they don't realise that that is what they need to, you know, big up. Like, that is their USP that makes them who they are. And so that's what I try and do, is look at how they might, you know, how to brand themselves better, how to talk about themselves. So that, first of all, their CV and covering letter gets them some face time. And then secondly, to just try and give encouragement. But it's a really, I'm not going to say, it's a really tough kind of, you know, thing out there. There's people with loads of experience who are going for those kinds of positions. It's really difficult, but it's about trying to kind of set yourself apart from the crowd.
And looking ahead to those people who have been in the industry a few years, what advice would you give as, you know, in your position, as you say, you've set up your company, you feel you're still learning, but you have reached a certain level in the industry where you are an inspiration to many, you are a fellow of the Radio Academy. What advice do you give to those people who are having successful careers in the industry and just looking to make that next step?
Well, I think that there are a lot more opportunities for journalists and also setting up interviews. So there are a lot of podcast production companies who are requiring freelance support. So, you know, it's worth getting in contact with them to kind of find out if there's any ad hoc projects that you might be able to work on. And also, like, I think a lot of the successful producers are branding themselves. You know, they've got their own websites. They're kind of freelancing on different projects, because a lot of it is sometimes quite ad hoc. So, you know, rather than kind of just thinking, oh, I need to get my foot in the door at the BBC, you know, which was always like a traditional path. There is more kind of like portfolio careers, trying to just work on different projects and building your brand that way. But I mean, there are some fantastic producers doing that, like way better than I ever did.
I think that's a really interesting point, and something that a lot of producers in particular more and more are doing in terms of building a brand and being able to bring themselves, their expertise and their own authentic voice and integrity to each different project. And I think you're a really shining example of that. You are multi-award winning, including the very prestigious Peabody Award, and you've worked in such a variety of different places, even within the BBC, from One Extra to World Service, you know, from reggae dance halls to dog fights and more, and now continuing that vein with Sound Truism. How do you establish your brand? How do you bring yourself and what you believe in to each of those different projects? And, you know, for example, you've kept that really important local or community feel, and you've translated that to such diverse stories across the world. How do you maintain that, and how do you build your own voice?
I think it's about listening to your own inner voice, like doing what interests you and what drives you. So I only really wanted to work on projects where I had a vested interest. Like, I know that but that could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be like, that's why I did dog fighting, even though I didn't like dogs, but I had a connection with that story and the people who were living in Southside Chicago, you know. So you have to actually be motivated to want to work on that project. So, for example, Waylon McKenzie, who's a brilliant producer, he did a project. He went to Cuba and did a whole thing about Assata Shakur, and he did like an exhibition. I went to go and see it, and a podcast, got loads of interviews, and just put them out himself. And I just think that was just, it's so impressive. It really is just something, you follow your own path. That's something you're interested in. Do the project, get the interviews, put the audio out there. That's something that, you know, was difficult to do when we started before there was no podcasting. You have power to control your own destiny. So if somebody's not going to pay you to do it, you could try and look for funding. Are there any grants available out there? Is there anybody who might want to sponsor what you're doing? It's really difficult, but the fact that you've got to keep yourself in the game, keep doing it, keep yourself motivated. Because that's what's really difficult sometimes, is when, you know, you're applying for jobs after jobs after job and you're not getting anywhere. So that's what I said to somebody the other week. Do your own project. What do you want to do? Like, go and do some interviews. Put it out there. And then you're showing then. It's on YouTube. You're showing your employer that you've done something. Like, this is, you've shown initiative. But also it's about keeping yourself motivated and in the game as well. Reminding yourself why you're there, why you're doing it, what you love.
You are an inspiration. What would you like people, you know, coming to the Radio Academy, seeing Nina Robinson Fellow, what would you like people to take away from that?
I just think it's for people to know anybody can do it. Like, don't ever doubt yourself. You know, that I mean, we all have our moments of kind of like, am I good enough? Is this going to work? But I think as you get older, you get to the point where it doesn't matter so much. You're just going to do it because you don't care really much so what people think. You're just going to do what you want to do. And I think as soon as you kind of have that self-belief that you're just going to do what you want to do, then something, in a way, the universe can reward that a little bit. You know, like, I'm not one of these like manifesting vision boards type people, like, I don't do that, but I just think that you do what you feel and then it kind of aligns in a way. Because sometimes I have been in a position where I'm banging my head against a brick wall, like, I want this, and I'm going to keep going and going, doesn't matter how many times I bang my head against a brick wall. But then I realise, well, that's not for me, you know, and there's a reason why that didn't work out. And then something else will happen that is just, you know, not easier, but like, it came. And so I go with that. Do what you feels right for you. Keep yourself in the game. Keep your skills brushed up. Keep on making sure you're using Adobe Audition, or, you know, you're doing shooting and editing and, you know, just to kind of keep you alive and vibrant and working on projects that you believe in.
That's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing. It's been brilliant talking to you, and congratulations again.
Thanks so much, Aradhna.
Big thanks to Nina for her time today. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast so you don't miss an episode. We've got 3 more Meet the Fellow conversations coming up, all being released in the next few days. I'll catch you on the next one.